there was a man and a woman that were married for many years, and whenever there was a confrontation, yelling could be heard deep in the night. And the old man would shout, "When I die, I'm going to dig my way up from out of that grave and come back and haunt you for the rest of your life." He'd say that to his wife. And he'd say it very angry, a lot of anger. And he was such an angry type of a man that even the neighbors really disliked him and they feared him. And the old man, he liked that. He liked that people were afraid of him and that he could strike fear. Well, one evening when he was 98 years old, he finally passed away. And after the burial, her neighbors were really concerned for her safety because they all remembered him yelling and telling her, "Look, even when I die, I'm going to dig my way up out of this grave and come back and haunt you." And the neighbor said to the lady, the widow said, "Aren't you afraid that he might be able to just dig his way up out of that grave and haunt you for the rest of your life?" And she said, "Let him dig. I had him buried upside down. And you know he'll never ask for directions." Thank you. Well, we had finished the series. You're recording this, aren't you, Brother Shaw? Is that right? We finished the series, the chapter by chapter study of the book of Revelation. But for me, you know, when you go through a book of Revelation, there's always lots of questions, I think, a lot of questions. And if you would bear with me, I want to try to go through the next couple of Wednesday nights looking at some of those questions that many of you may have that I've had, and hopefully we can come up with some of the answers. One of those questions is this, you know, doesn't the Bible say that the gospel must be preached throughout the world before Jesus comes back? Does that mean that the rapture of the church is not going to occur until the whole world hears the gospel preached? How many of you have heard that or something similar to that over the years? I certainly have. And in fact, a lot of times missions departments will make that statement, that part of their initiative is to make sure that the whole world hears the gospel so that it'll just bring on the return of Christ. So let me deal with that for just a minute, or try to, okay? The Bible does say that the world must hear the gospel before Jesus will return. There's a key right there. In fact, Jesus himself was the one who said it. It's recorded in what was referred to as the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24 in verse 14. This is familiar scripture. You've heard this. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come." Now remember those last words. That's a very important key. This statement that Jesus makes relates to his return to the earth at his second coming. It does not relate to the rapture. It relates to his physical return to this earth. He's going to appear in the heavens at the rapture. He's going to step out on the cloud with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet and call us home. He does not physically come back to the earth at the rapture. The rapture is not the physical return of Christ to the earth. It's his appearance for a moment. The twinkling of an eye, as we're told in Paul's description of the event. We're going to meet him in the air. After the 7 years of the tribulation is when Christ literally steps foot on this earth. During the tribulation, there's going to be much preaching of the gospel. The Bible tells us that. It tells us there's going to be 144,000 Jewish evangelists, 144,000, 12,000 from every tribe all over the world preaching the gospel. That's a lot of evangelists, isn't it? And it says that the gospel is also going to be preached to the world by two witnesses in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that. We read that. I'm going to review that with you again in Revelation 11, 3 through 7. "And I will give power to my two witnesses. They will prophesy 1,265 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, the two lampstands standing before God on the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth, devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over waters to turn to the blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. These two witnesses have a lot of power. They draw a lot of attention. In fact, the world celebrates, if you remember, when they die. And so these two witnesses, the Bible doesn't tell us their names. I had mentioned when we went through the study that I believe that the two names may be Elijah and Enoch. Maybe. I'm reading a book by David Jeremiah, and he says very matter-of-factly that it is Moses and Elijah, not Elijah and Enoch. So, you know, it depends on who you ask. Dr. David Reagan, he leans more toward Elijah and Enoch. The Bible doesn't tell us. But what matters is there's going to be two witnesses, and they're going to be preaching, and people are going to get saved. And they're going to hear the word of God, and they're going to be saved. No one knows for sure who those two witnesses are. At the end of that tribulation, right before the outpouring of the bowls of wrath, the final judgments of God, God in his mercy is then going to send an angel, the Bible says, to circle the globe, preaching the eternal gospel to every nation, tribe, and tongue, and people. So think about it. You've got the preaching of the 144,000 Jews. You've got the preaching of the two witnesses. You've got the preaching of the angel circling the earth. Somebody says, well, how is she going to do that, circling the earth? Maybe she captures every satellite in outer space, and all they do is just carry the gospel message nonstop. And the people down on earth say, well, we can't adjust this. What's going on with these satellites? I don't know how it's going to be done. It just says it's going to happen. I believe the word of God is going to take place. So the answer goes back to this ideal. Does every tribe in the world have to hear the gospel message before the rapture? That is not what Jesus said. He said that every tribe and every nation will hear the gospel message before the end, which means at the end of the tribulation, before he comes back to this earth. That's what that is making reference to. The next question, does the rapture mark the beginning of the tribulation? I've dealt with this some in the past. Some of you may remember my thoughts on this. But my answer still is the same as it was before. The answer is, does the rapture mark the beginning of the tribulation? The answer is no, it does not. The rapture may occur a few days. Excuse me. The rapture may occur, and the tribulation period may begin. I'm about to say it backwards. I had to catch myself. The rapture could occur, and the tribulation period could begin a few days, a few weeks, a few months, or even a year or longer after the occurrence of the rapture. Now, it is very likely, I believe, that the tribulation period begins very soon after the rapture, but the rapture itself does not mark the beginning of the 7 years of the tribulation. We know the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 1:10 that Jesus will deliver his church from the wrath to come, that we won't go through the rapture, that we'll be, we won't go through the tribulation, we will be raptured before the beginning of that tribulation. Many folks believe that the tribulation will begin very soon after the rapture, because the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians that the Antichrist cannot be revealed until the restrainer, that's a different word, but restrainer is referencing the Holy Spirit, people say, is taken out of the way. I don't believe that's talking about the Holy Spirit, though, because there's going to be many, many folks get saved during the tribulation period. And the Bible says that the salvation comes as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. So that restrainer that's removed out of the way that allows the unveiling of the Antichrist, I believe is the church. And I believe that it's the Holy Spirit working through the church, that when the church is removed, then that restrainer is removed, and then the Antichrist will be revealed. And that is, again, another indication that the beginning of the tribulation occurs fairly quickly after the rapture. But when does the tribulation actually begin? What is the Bible's specific wording that tells us with pretty clarity and certainty that this is the point at which the tribulation begins? It's found in the words of the prophet Daniel. Because he tells us that the tribulation will have a starting point, and that starting point will be when there is a covenant that is agreed to between Israel and the Antichrist that guarantees Israel's safety and their peace. It enables them, once they have that covenant, I believe that's what enables the Jews then to begin immediately rebuilding that temple on the Temple Mount because of that agreement. In Daniel 9 and 27, the word says, "Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week." Now, in Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks, this is the final week of the 70 weeks. So when he says there should confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, that 1 week is a week of years or 7 years. That's the length of the tribulation. In the middle of the week, 3.5 years into that tribulation period, he shall bring an end to sacrifice. See, the Antichrist shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be the one who makes desolate, even unto the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. He comes in and sets up an image of himself, a statue of himself, demands that everybody, the Jews and the whole world, in the temple the Jews have created, everybody has to worship him. Not God, but him. And at that point, then the peace ends, naturally, with him and Israel. But the beginning of the tribulation is that covenant. When that covenant occurs, when the Antichrist goes to Israel and says, "We'll make peace. I have the power. I'm the leader of the world. I'm going to make peace." Again, that occurs after the rapture, and that tribulation period is marked by the beginning of that agreement between the Antichrist and Israel. It is not the rapture that starts it, though it could happen very quickly after the rapture. Everybody clear on that? What I'm saying on that? Okay. So in theory, the rapture could occur, and it may take a little while for the Antichrist to ascend to his power. It may take a little while before the world recognizes him, that he has the authority then to go to Israel and make peace with Israel, and everybody follow his directions to not harm Israel and protect Israel. That may happen. I don't think that happens like 2 days after the rapture. I think it might take a few weeks or a few months after the rapture before that is in place. But I think it happens fairly quickly, not a long time. Another question that you may have thought about or people have asked, will children be taken up in the rapture? Will children be taken up in the rapture? If you've read Tim LaHaye's book, The Left Behind series, or if you've watched any of the movies, he will tell you that it's a resounding yes, that children will be taken up in the rapture. The problem is the Bible does not specifically answer that question, does it? It does not specifically answer the question. It tells us that those that are saved, that are born again, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we're going to be raptured, right? What about a little child who's never prayed a prayer of repentance and they're only 5 years old or 4 years old? Or you understand what I'm saying? The Bible doesn't specifically speak to them being raptured. But Tim LaHaye presents his reasoning. Let me share his reasoning for why he believes this. Up until a certain age, which is probably different for each individual, we believe God will not hold a child accountable for a decision, such as a decision for Christ, that must be made with heart and mind of understanding, fully aware of the ramifications. In other words, he's saying, you've heard this, until a child, and it's a little different for every child, reaches the age of accountability. Y'all heard that expression. Until that child reaches the age of accountability, it's just like saying, if that little four-year-old child dies, is he going to heaven or hell? He's going to heaven, my mind, because he's not reached the age of accountability. He hasn't got to that point where he can understand and make a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. Tim LaHaye says that same thing applies in the rapture. He believes, and I believe this, that a little child that hasn't reached the age of accountability to make a decision for Jesus, when the rapture comes, those children are going to heaven. They're going up with us, right? Look at me right there. Now what about the scripture in the Bible that tells us that a baby in a mother's womb will be going up to heaven during the rapture? Have you read that scripture? I haven't either. I've never seen that scripture. I just thought it sounded interesting, but it's not there. It's not in the Bible. There is nothing in the Bible about what happens to a little baby in the mother's womb during the rapture. But there are many people that believe that that little child in that mother's womb is going to be raptured. That child will not stay on this earth and go through the judgment of God, but that child will suddenly be out of that mother's womb and go to heaven. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that, but it's an interesting theory, isn't it? Everybody make up their own minds on that, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. I think it's very interesting. Little innocent children. God is not going to have little innocent children undergo the wrath of his judgment on this earth. They're just not going to happen. They're going up to heaven with us. Another question. Will saved people who have lived, including the Old Testament folks, saved people who lived in the old days, okay, before Jesus, will they be resurrected at the rapture? Have you ever thought about that? Anybody ever thought about that? In other words, you look at all the Old Testament saints. Look at all the people that trusted in God, believed in God, walked with God, loved God, had faith in God, and they died. And then later Jesus comes, and he gives his life on the cross, and he's resurrected. And all of us that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have trusted in him, we're going to heaven in the rapture, aren't we? What the Bible tells us. What about the Old Testament saints? Are they going to heaven at the same time we go to heaven in the rapture? Let me tell you what I think the Bible says on that subject, okay? Everybody still with me here tonight? Don't throw rocks at me now when you hear this. No, they are not going up in the rapture when we go up in the rapture. They're not. And we get the answer in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 45, and then the first two verses of chapter 12. By the way, when you remember, when you read the Bible, Daniel didn't break up all of his words into chapters. You understand that? We broke those words up and put them into chapters. The writers didn't do that. We've done that. So when we say, well, you go to the end of chapter 11, you go to the beginning of chapter 12, as far as Daniel, he's just writing. We broke that up, okay? So if you take Daniel chapter 11, verse 45, it reads that he, the Antichrist, will stop between the glorious holy mountain and the sea and will pitch his royal tents. But while he is there, his time will suddenly run out and no one will help him. We know what happens. This is Daniel's description of the Antichrist at the Battle of Armageddon, the Valley of Jezreel, when suddenly Christ comes back and destroys the Antichrist and his army. That's what this is describing. This is what Daniel is prophesying. He continues in the next chapter, in the first verse. At that time, meaning the end of the tribulation when Christ comes back and destroys the Antichrist. At that time, Michael, the archangel who stands guard over your nation. Daniel is speaking to the Jews. Over your nation, Michael the archangel will arise. Then there will be a time of anguish greater than any since the nations first came into existence. Speaking of the end of the tribulation. But at that time, everybody still with me, listen? But at that time, every one of your people, the Jews, whose name is written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up. Some to everlasting life and some to everlasting disgrace. What Daniel's prophecy states that is that at the end of the tribulation, when the Antichrist is defeated in the valley of Jezreel, the Battle of Armageddon, he goes on to say, at that time, every one of your people whose name is written in the book will be rescued, and many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up. The resurrection of the Old Testament saints occurs at the end of the tribulation, according to the Word of God, according to the book of Daniel. But this ideal of the Old Testament saints, when they're going to be raptured, it would seem, according to the prophecy of Daniel, that the resurrection of the Old Testament saints, he talks about your people and the Jews, they're awake to everlasting life. And the period that he's describing, and he's very clear, and he says, at that time, that's when the Antichrist has set up himself between the mountain and the sea. It's the Valley of Jezreel. It's Armageddon. And he's destroyed. And he makes it very clear that at that point he's destroyed. There's nobody that comes to help him. It's over for him. At that time is when they'll rise up and be resurrected. Can people still be saved after the rapture? Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. There's no doubt there's going to be a great harvest of souls after the rapture. Revelation 7, 9, 10, 13, and 14. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, for every nation, tribe, and people, and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb, that were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, that were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." Then one of the 24 elders asked me, "Who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed the robes of the blood of the Lamb and made them white." He's saying there's folks that died during the tribulation. Now, if they had been saved before the tribulation began, they would have been on this earth. They'd have been in the rapture with heaven with us, right? So the ones that he speaks of when he says, "These are the ones who died in the tribulation," how did they get to heaven? They got to heaven because after the rapture, during the tribulation, they got saved. There will be a lot of folks, I believe a lot of folks are going to get saved immediately after the rapture, before the even beginning of the trumpet and the seal and the bowl judgments. That the mass change of humanity in the world, in the communities and cities and in our nations will be so severe that lost children that knew their mom and dad had stood for Jesus, they had been in church, they had heard the gospel preached, and they rejected it, and they stepped back, and they just refused to come and believe in Jesus. When the rapture occurs and they realize so many that they knew they had trusted in God were gone, it'll hit them like a ton of bricks. And they'll know, oh, I missed it. I know what's happened. I missed it. God, forgive me. Jesus, I believe in you. Oh, I think there'll be hundreds and thousands and millions of people get saved right after the rapture, as well as we already talked about, the 144,000, the two witnesses, and the angel circling the earth. So all of those things will impact massive numbers of people. Many of them will die during the tribulation. They'll die for their faith, and they're the ones that are in heaven that this scripture is speaking very specifically about, is the who are these? All these that are, where'd they come from? And he says, they're the ones who died in the tribulation. It's very specific in that description, in that answer back to John. What an incredible promise God gives. Even by his judgments coming on the earth. You think about it, before the last act of destruction that comes on the earth, the final bowl judgments, his compassion and his love for mankind is still so great. He says, let me just try one more thing. Let me send this angel. Let her just circle the whole world so that she can tell the whole world one more time, Jesus is the Son of God. He died. He gave his life. And there's hope and there's eternal life if you put your hope in him and trust in him and believe in him. Yes, sir, that'll be a great, great, wonderful thing. Revelation, the book of Revelation, speaks of two resurrections. Doesn't our end time view of things contain more than two resurrections? Well, the Bible clearly teaches, clearly teaches, that there will be more than just two resurrections. Let me try to go through that with you. There'll be the resurrection of the church age saints at the time of the rapture. The Bible tells that very clearly. 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, the dead in Christ shall rise. Those of us who are alive and remain will meet them in the air. The resurrection of the church age saints occurs during the rapture. Everybody agrees with that, right? At the end of the tribulation, we just read in the book of Daniel that at the end of the tribulation, the Old Testament saints will arise and be resurrected and go to heaven. As well as, according to the Word of God, as well as those that died during the tribulation, that trusted in Jesus, that got saved in the tribulation, when does their resurrection take place? Revelation 24, and I saw thrones, people sitting on them, had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus and for proclaiming the word of God. They had not worshiped the beast or the statue or accepted his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They all came to life again, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Scholars believe that the resurrection of those that got saved and died during the tribulation, that their resurrection will occur at the same time that the Old Testament saints are resurrected, that is at the end of the tribulation period. Earlier we referenced Daniel, we talked about that, that tells us the Old Testament, when they're coming up. And then finally there's unbelievers, it's another resurrection. We talked about two already, right? At the rapture and at the end of the tribulation period. But there's another resurrection. When I saw a great white throne, and he who sat on him, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. The books were opened, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Of course, the question then is, who are these people? Those are the folks that died not knowing Christ as Savior. Those are the folks that died in their sins. Those are the folks that died that weren't trusting in God, that didn't believe in God, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament. It's all of those who stand before the great white throne judgment of God, and it says none of their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and all of them were sent to hell forever, for all of eternity. That's the third resurrection, isn't it? We've talked about those first two resurrections of... but see, people get confused because it's, wait a minute, you're talking about three resurrections, and doesn't the Bible just speak of two resurrections? Resurrection of the dead and the resurrection of the saints. How can there be three resurrections? Well, keep in mind, when the Bible is speaking two, it's speaking of two in kind, not two in number. There's two kinds of resurrection. There's the resurrection to eternal life, and there's the resurrection to eternal damnation. Those are the two resurrections the Bible is speaking of. The fact that there are two resurrections to eternal life represents two of that kind. That kind, which is the resurrection to eternal life. The resurrection of the unjust, of course, will only occur once. You've heard that expression, if you're born twice, you only die once. If you're born once, you die twice. Have you heard that expression? The meaning there is if you're born twice, you only die once. You're born in the flesh. You're born again, as Jesus called it, in the spirit. Then you only die once, meaning you may die on this earth, but you'll never die again, right? If you're only born once, meaning you're only born in the flesh, and you're never born again in the spirit, you're going to die twice. You're going to die in this old earth, and then you're going to die again, spiritually speaking, when you stand before the white throne judgment of God and he sends you to an eternal death. You die twice. I'm only going to die once. How about you? Actually, I may not die at all because I may not make it home tonight before God calls us home, right? The rapture could occur. So that'd be wonderful. There's a lot of us that's never going to die. That's going to be a good thing. That's a wonderful thing. There's really, you think about the resurrection of the righteous. Some people say, well, that really occurs in three stages. You have the resurrection of Jesus. That's stage one. You have the resurrection of the church saints, that's stage two. Then you have the resurrection of the tribulation martyrs and the Old Testament saints, that's stage three. It's all the same kind of resurrection. It's all the resurrection to eternal life. They make up the first, what the Bible calls the first resurrection, three different events of the first resurrection. And the second resurrection is the resurrection of the unrighteous, those that are not saved, that stand before the throne of God. Interesting questions. We're gonna follow up again next Wednesday night with some more questions. We'll look at, will Russia invade Israel? Does the Bible speak to that? Is the USA portrayed anywhere in Revelation? Some people think it's portrayed in Revelation 18. Is that true? Where will the Antichrist headquarters be located? There's some differences, opinions about that. Where will it be? Will it be in Jerusalem? Will it be in Rome? Will it be in Babylon? Where will it be? Will the marriage feast of the Lamb, will that be held in heaven or on earth? Some people try to make the claims of it being on earth. And then this old question that Sherry and I talk about a lot, and will we know each other in heaven? we will. But we'll look at the Word of God and look at Scripture that make it even more clear that absolutely we'll know each other in heaven. And we won't know each other in the same marital relationships that we have here on this earth. That won't be the same. But we'll know each other. We'll know each other for sure. Amen. Next Wednesday night, we'll try to do more. If you have some other tough questions, send them to me. I can't tell you I can come up with answers, but we'll sure take a shot at it if we can, if possible. Okay. We'll go to the Lord in prayer tonight. And